Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Come on, get ready. Here it is, 2 Kings chapter 4. Going to jump in there again. Started this a few weeks ago, and I thought I was just going to do a little one-week thing, and it's turned into a four-week thing, but that's usually what happens. Things like that happen. How many know that happens? I've enjoyed it so far, though. The Lord's really ministered to me in this process. How about you? Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been blessed by this. It's real good. Now, we're putting together DVDs now. We've got DVDs of the service. They're done in high definition. It's real awesome stuff, so we'll start getting those available to you to give to your friends, your boss, your neighbor, the dog, whoever needs it. Going to get it to them. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Going to do a real quick little recap. Are you ready for the recap? All right. I just need somebody to help me out, pull some notes up there. Who can help me yank up there it is. Are you ready? We're going to do a quick recap. First thing is 2 Kings chapter 4. We started with that whole aspect of she persuaded him. She persuaded him to eat some food. So we had a widow woman, a noble woman, a widow woman, and she had this man of God going by. And it was their custom, and it was their custom in that day that if there was somebody who was traveling or they were a visitor, I mean, you could pretty much in any town go to the center of town, sit there for a bit, and you should expect that somebody would say, hey, are you traveling? You're a visitor? You're in this area for the night? You can come to my place. It was a custom that that's what you did. They were supposed to take care of strangers and take care of alien folks and bring people in and take them in your home. So she said, I'm going to have this guy in my home. And then it says that she persuaded him to come. Every time he came by, she persuaded him to come by and eat some food. So that word is constrained. It's the word kazak. The word means to tie fast, to bind, to constrain, to prevail upon, or to seize. So we talked about that, about what it means to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. So we talked about seeking the Lord and the benefits that you get from seeking the Lord. You can get bogged down in life, but your difficulty is not your difficulty. What really is defines your problem is, what are you going to do now? Because if you seek the Lord in any difficulty or any situation, you're going to experience the benefits of a seeker. Some of those benefits were, number one, access. You got access to God. It says, those who seek me will find me. Isn't that awesome? So if you, God's not elusive. He's not hiding from you. God really is available. So if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. It says if you seek the Lord, he'll deal with fear. If you seek the Lord, there'll be an awareness that comes, because it says it's those who seek the Lord will get all understanding. That's a good reason to seek the Lord there. I mean, I don't understand. A good thing to do when you don't understand is seek the Lord, because it says those who seek the Lord will gain all understanding. People say to me, Pastor, I don't understand. I said, then seek the Lord. It's really that easy. I mean, I didn't write the book. I mean, I'm just reading it to you. I'm preaching it to you because God wrote it, and he's faithful, and he watches over his word to perform it. So there's going to be an awareness of everything you need in any situation. Then there's excess. Whatever God calls you to do, it says that when you seek the Lord, it says you're going to prosper. When you seek the Lord, it says he'll rain righteousness on you. I love that word righteousness, because the word righteousness also means justice. You know, if you've got a situation where you feel the balances are out of order, where something isn't going right and you don't think it's fair, you know what? If it's not fair, seek the Lord. Why? Because it says if you seek the Lord, seek him until he will rain justice. He will rain righteousness. He will come and he will, in your favor, he will tip the balance for you. Seek the Lord. I'm in a situation that ain't fair. I need justice. Seek the Lord until he rains righteousness on you. And then blessedness. It says the Lord is going to bless you. You seek the Lord, he's going to bless you. And then peacefulness. He'll give you peace. It says they sought the Lord and had peace on every side. So there's a lot of great reasons to seek the Lord. So then we talked about the woman that she wasn't just content with, you know, having the man of God come by for meals. She said, I want to make an upper room. I want to build a place of ascent. I want to build a place in our home where the man of God can come and not just visit, but I want a habitation of God's presence in my life. And so they built an upper place where they could go, I'm going to make room. I'm going to expand my foundations. I want more of God. If you want more of God, you got to prepare. You got to make room. They made a room on the wall. There was a bed. There was a table. There was a chair. There was a lampstand. And we talked about all of those principles of revisiting your foundations, of preparing and making room for God to have a special place in your life. It's a good recap, Pastor. Thank you. So you go from visitation to habitation, making a change, making room, increasing capacity. Something has to shift. Something has to grow. Your present level is not enough if you're going to go up. Then we looked at 2 Kings chapter 4, and we looked at verse 11 through to 37, and it says, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? That's where the promise. I mean, she sought the Lord. She made a habitation of the Lord, and sure enough, the Lord was like, what can I do for you? Turn to your neighbor and say, what can I do for you? No, literally, the man of God, representing God, God walks in. He says, now listen, all of this seeking has just overwhelmed me. All of the seeking has resulted in me wanting to be a benefactor. All of the seeking has, because it says, those who come to him must believe that he is. They must first have faith. They must believe that he is and believe what? And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you diligently seek him, God's just going to be coming. He's going to be going, man, I want to bless you. God wants to bless you. It says, daily he loads me with benefits. And some of you folks have been rejecting the benefits for so long, you know, the Lord's about to get a hernia. He's just hanging on. So you got to say, come on, I'm ready to receive. The Lord wants to do something. So she said, I'm good. I'm all right. Everything's good. And then all of a sudden he's like, wow, you know what? You're going to have a son. This time next year, you're going to have a son. And she's like, don't go there. Don't get my hopes up. I've dealt with that issue in my life. I've resolved that I may never have children. I've overcome the words and the way people have looked at me and thought she's barren. There must be a curse in her life. I've made friends overcome it. I don't want to even hope again. Don't go there. He said, no, you're going to come back a year from now. You're going to have a child. But that's what she wanted. That's what she so desired, the barrenness in her life to be gone. And sure enough, she had a child. When she had the child grows up. And last week we read the child goes bouncing through the fields. And my wife corrected me because I said the child had blonde hair. And my wife said, Jewish boy probably doesn't have blonde hair. So I don't know if I wrecked the sermon for others. I know Cheryl messed up the sermon right there. She's like, bam. Anyways, child goes off to see daddy, comes back, he's not well, dies. The promise died on her lap. How many of you ever had a promise die? How many are living right now? You got a promise? And so you're just going, oh, you know what, I guess I should be grateful, just enjoy where I'm at in life, and you know, I'll just do the best I can where I am. And then God comes and he pokes you again. He says, what about this? Well, see, she embraced that. She had the child, but then the child's brought and the child dies in her lap. And here's what she said. She said, wherefore, she goes to her husband and says, look, I need a donkey and I need a servant. I'm going to go see the man of God. He's like, well, what are you going to see him for? It's not Sunday. It's not Bible study. There's no special meetings going on. She said, peace. Shalom. She didn't say, you know, our son, the one we love, the gift of God, the purpose of God, the wonderful destiny and promise of God, dead back in the upper room, dead. She just said, peace. Then when the servant came out and he runs out and meets her and he says, hey, is shalom with you? Shalom with your husband? Shalom with the child? She went, shalom. Tell me, is it well with you? Is it well with you right now? Is it well with you? Is it well in your life? Is it well in your experience? Is it well in your relationships? Is it well in your finances? Is it well in the promise that God spoke over your life? Is it well with you? But she said, peace. She went to the man of God, throws herself at her feet, and she got the man of God to come back and do something about it. And the man of God came back, and sure enough, that child was supernaturally restored to her. So in the time of trouble, you've got to go to the Lord. Psalm 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is from the pastor in 17 counseling sessions. I tell you, there's so many things. I just go, oh, my God, I can't help you. Let's just pray in tongues for a second. Let's seek the Lord, because this is a seeker problem right here. And they're all seeker problems. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. So she went, she sought the Lord, but salvation is from the righteous. He is their strength in the time of trouble. How many had a time of trouble this week? How many slept through the whole week? I'll tell you, he's your strength in a time of trouble. You can trust him. You see, as a pastor, I don't want you to get hooked up with a denomination, an organization, a philosophy of ministry. I want you to get hooked up with Jesus. Because you know what? In a time of trouble, he is your salvation. In a time of trouble, you can trust him. And when you cannot find the pastor and you cannot dial 911, when you got nothing, I mean, you're laying on your back and something awful's going on in your life, you always have access to the throne of God. If you seek the Lord, he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I tell you, seek the Lord and he won't fail you. And if believers would get that right and manifest it in ridiculous fashion in their lives, a lot of people would come screaming to the house of God, help. Because he is our God and he is alive and he is well and he is moving in my heart and in my life. Seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth said, if the enemy can move you from the place of faith, if he can get you outside of that, he will get you outside of the will of God for your life. You see, and people will try to come against you. I mean, that man, when she threw herself at the feet of the prophet, he's like, get out of there. What are you doing? People are going to try and stand in the way of the manifestation of your faith because you're believing for a resurrection. You're believing for a supernatural manifestation of God. You're believing that supernaturally he must perform what he's promised me in my life. And don't let people get in the way of you. Don't let anybody rob you of your faith. You hold fast, because if they rob you of your faith, they will get you out of the will of God for your life. That was good. I saw two hands up. How many had your hand up in the spirit? How many like almost partly paying attention? Awesome. How many did pay your tithes though? That's good, because paying attention, you know, that's, you should do that. But that's. Romans chapter 4, 16 and 17, Abraham is the father of the faith of all who believe. Why? Why? It says this happened. He was declared the father of faith because he was the one who believed that God brings the dead back to life. He is the one who creates new things out of nothing. He believed God. He was lifted up eye to eye with God, and he began to speak the God kind of stuff, and he saw his world shift and his world change. And we got to be people that when we see something that God promised us die, don't camp around there. Don't make friends with that. Step into the realm of faith. Be like your father Abraham. Step into the DNA, the faith that Abraham put in you. He's your father. If you have faith, then you speak the things that are not and you declare them come now into manifestation, and you believe that they'll resurrect. Okay, thank you, Pastor. Awesome stuff. So fulfilling the purpose of God. We talked about she had a visitation. She pursued the habitation. She received the blessing. She experienced tragedy. How many times we pursue God, we get the habitation, we're walking in the blessing, and all of a sudden, bam, something awful happens in life. But you know, that's the time to continue seeking the Lord. In that tragedy, she sought the Lord, exercised bold faith, realized restoration, and partnered in the purpose of God. Because that child, 2 Kings chapter 9, 3 and 4, we see that that child became the child who was a prophet, who went and prophesied over Jehu, who called forth that anointing that destroyed the back of Ahab and Jezebel in a nation. That child was a child of purpose and a child of promise, and she contended for that promise to come into manifestation. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. That was a recap right there. If you weren't here, pow, you got that really fast. Are you ready for some new stuff? Some fresh bread. Okay, here we go. Some fresh bread. Let's go back in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's look at 32, verse 32. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 through to 37. It says, when Elisha came to the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, and he shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. So here it is. You ready? You got a dead situation, something miserable, something ugly. What do? Go in. Confront it. Go head on. Go for a head-on collision. Went in, straight in, and confronted this thing. Shut the door. And sometimes you got to shut the door. Why you got to shut the door? Because you don't need some people chasing in with you. Jesus shut the door, put out the doubters and naysayers. Even when the widow poured the oil, he said, shut the window, shut the doors. Why? Because somebody's going to look in and go, what are you doing? That is stupid. What are you? You got to shut the door. When you're going to step out and do something bold and crazy, full of faith, you got to shut everything else out. And you got to focus on God and say, we're getting this done today. you walk in, go ahead, confront the thing, get on in there, jump in, and then pray. Next thing you got to do is you better pray. You better find the mind of God. And when he went up, he lay on the child and put his mouth to his mouth, eyes to his eyes, hands to his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and his flesh became warm. Now, when I go to bed, I like to take the word, and I'll pull out my phone, and the little light comes on, and Cheryl will go, what are you doing? I go, just reading a little bit. And if I'm preaching on something, I like to read it over and over again. I like to read it over and over and over, and I just like to meditate on it. Let every single word speak to me. So before I go to bed, I'll just read that. I'll read the same passage over and over and over. So Cheryl's always like, go ahead, read to me then. So I read to her. You know, honey, this week, you know what I found out? I found out that there's a little icon. It's a little speaker. And if I hit the speaker, the guy reads for us. I had no idea. And he had a really cool voice. It was like King James. It was like really cool. But the way he read it says, and he went up and he lay on the child. And he put his mouth on his mouth. His eyes on his eyes. I tell you, we'd be out in a minute. But it was good. Now, you know, if I get tired, I can just press it and you can carry on. But anyway, we were reading it there one night. We read this passage. I said, Cheryl, I've been studying this. I've been looking at commentators. I've Googled it. I've done everything. I don't quite get this, what this guy was up to. I know Elijah did that. He laid on the child three times, and the third time the child was raised from the dead. So maybe he knew the story of Elijah. I don't know. But I think he prayed. I believe he prayed, and he got a strategy from God. But I was going, is there any principle here? I don't know if there's a principle here. I mean, he laid on the child eye to eye, mouth to mouth, and hand to hand. And Cheryl said, that's because he was going to raise up completely. He was going to raise it up in every sense of his life. Every part of him would be raised up, body, soul, and spirit. His body, the hands, his eyes, the window of the soul, his mouth, where the breath and the spirit of God was. Spirit, soul, and body, he would be raised up and quickened completely and every bit made whole. I said, that's not bad, but I said, why are you shouting at me? But I thought, that's actually not bad, honey. And she said, you know I've given you the best sermons you've ever preached. I said, I know that's true. You are the source of every blessing in me, and I thank God for it. So it's good stuff right there. So let's read on. So he does that. But I believe he prayed. I believe he asked God, what should I do? And he did what the Lord told him to do. It says the child became warm. Child became warm. It says, and he returned, and he walked back and forth in the house again. And then he went up, and he stretched himself out again on the child, and the child went, whoosh. Seven times the child sneezed, and the child opened his eyes, and he called to Gehazi, and he said, call the Shunammite woman. And he called her, and he said to her, he says, look, here's your son. She came in, and he said, pick up your son. But she went in and fell at the prophet's feet, fell at the man of God's feet first, bowed to the ground, and then she picked up her son. That's a wonderful thing to honor God. And I love the scripture where Paul said, they gave themselves to the Lord first, and then to us. There's something that's brilliant about that when you're so grateful and you acknowledge him as the source of every blessing and every benefit in your life. Can I get an amen? Can I get a glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. So listen now. We got up here in your notes. It says, he covered what was dead. He covered what was dead, and he reached out until there was nothing left. Now, I want to not talk about the Shunammite who was receiving from God, who was resurrecting a promise from God, but I want to look at this from the prophet's view right now. Because, you know, Jesus said, as I am, so are you in this world. In my life, I'm not reading the stories in the Bible and seeing myself as the one who always needs something from God. You need to start changing your mind and realize that you are Jesus in the Word. I'm Jesus? What are you talking about? You are as he is, so are you in this world. He doesn't want you to see yourself as the one groping through humanity, always in need. I need another miracle. Oh God, another miracle. I can't get through today without another miracle. You be the miracle. You be the hero in your own story. You be the one who every day is walking and manifesting the supernatural. Yeah, well, that's good. I like that. But so often we preach from a perspective of Jesus has always had, he's got to help us. Get me out of this fix. Get me out of this problem. But you should be the one walking around. You are the one mature now. You are the one walking, not looking for a miracle. You are a living, breathing, walking miracle, always looking to manifest the goodness of God for somebody else. Where you quit being self-centered and you start serving the world, serving humanity and blessing the people around you. The word became flesh and it dwelt among us. God came. He moved into the neighborhood and he threw his weight around and he said, I'm back. And that's what you are. The incarnation continues. Now the word in your heart is exploding in your life and the power of the Holy Ghost is gushing out of your belly and bring healing and blessing and revival everywhere you go. So let's look at it from the perspective of the prophet. You got a dead situation. You got something lifeless. You got something messy. You got something confronting you. You got someone you know. You got someone you love. You got a situation before you where death is creeping in, where entropy is creeping in, where something that God has a purpose for has entered into a stage of death. What do? You run away, for goodness sake. You open the door. You get in there. You get face to face with that situation. And you stretch until every single bit of death is covered. You stretch until there is nothing left. You stretch until you have covered every place where the devil has tried to rob, steal, and destroy. You stretch yourself into that situation until you bring life and resurrection to every place where the enemy has tried to destroy and steal. You loose resurrection life and power. Let's close in prayer. My goodness, that was good stuff right there. Wow. Boomba. Shumba boomba. That was bigger than a boomba. It was a shumba boomba woomba bambo. Hallelujah. Stretch. Stretch. If we are to impact, just go back to that one for me there. Just one more time. If we are to impact, I did impact in red because we are Impact Church. Amen. If we're not Impact Church, we should change the name on the sign to We Are Coexist Church. We're just going to kind of exist with the enemy for a while until God gets us out of this mess. We've come down into this community to coexist with all the pain and the suffering. We've come down in this community to suffer along with you. We've come down in this community so we can coexist with all the pain, the misery, and the grief. And we go, whoa, swing low. No, I put it in red because we are Impact Church. Some people think we changed the name because Bobby said, I must plant a church today. Partly true. But when Bobby sent me that, I must plant a church today, I saw impact. And I went, man, it's time for a fresh start. I don't want to just be New Life Center. I want to be Impact Church. Because our whole mission, I looked at our mission statement and I saw about 9 times in my mission statement, it said impact. We want to be an Impact Church. So I said, we might as well just get out there and say it. Right? Look, those people are Impact Church. That's right. We're the kind of people who run in when the situation's ugly. We're the kind of people when it's messy and there's death and there's no hope and people are in despair. We're the kind of people when it's just dead bones dried out by the sun. We're the kind of people who show up and say, let there be life. Let there be life. Wow, that's good right there. I enjoyed that. I felt that. Boom. It might have actually went past the pulpit. It was good. Look at that. Look at this. Now, I'm going to read this. You had a little part of it there. But how many have noticed when you wake up first thing in the morning, first thing you do is, my buttons are popping. Did you see that? Honey, just stay with me. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I know, I'm like Joe, I'm popping out all over. Which way to the gym? I mean the beach. Look at this, let me read this for you, ready? Stretch. It says, when our muscles are active, their constant contractions and extensions aid in the process of moving blood through the capillaries. The microscopic vessels that service our bodies and our cells. When the muscles are inactive for long periods of time, when the church falls into a period of utter slumber, when the church is selfish and not doing what it should do, when the church's eyes are closed to the pain of society, when the church can't even get to church, when the church can't even wake up on time, when the church can't even make it to church on time. Sorry, I got carried away there. What was I doing? Okay, when the muscles are inactive, it says the blood has a hard time moving through the capillaries, and this results in a decrease of oxygen in the muscle tissue and an increase in the waste products that blood normally carries away. I looked up the word stretch. I Googled stretch. How many have Googled stretch? I Googled stretch and got a definition. It talked about why stretch and what stretches are for. So it says that when you stretch, it says during sleep, most of your skeletal muscles, normally they're switched off by the brain to prevent potentially harmful motion, and blood pressure gradually drops. But upon awakening, our muscles are oxygen starved and loaded with irritating waste. And our brain needs blood pressure to increase to prepare the body for activity, especially standing up. Amen. All of those issues are addressed by a good stretch. The simultaneous elongation and contraction of almost every muscle group flushes out waste, bringing oxygen, and it boosts your blood pressure. Notice what happens when your heart beats next time you had a good morning stretch. The rate temporarily increases, and does this with the force of the beats, all this to handle these changes in the blood supply. Upon awakening, our muscles are oxygen starved, and they are loaded with irritating waste. But when you stretch, the blood begins to flow, and the life of God begins to move in the body, and oxygen comes, and the body rises up, and it's animated. Man, I'm telling you. Where's those impact napkins when you need them? See, he stretched. You know, I think it's time for the church to stretch. I really think the church needs a good stretch, quite honestly, folks. If we all wrote down what we really did all week and how much of that actually involved engaging God on the behalf of somebody else and not myself, we'd realize that most of the church is sleepy. But you see, first thing he did is he stretched. He stretched into this situation. He invaded the situation. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says that above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Look what it says in the message. It says, everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up practically for everything. Love will stretch into every situation and circumstance. Wake up and stretch yourself wherever death is engaged, wherever there's a creeping attack on the life of God or purpose of God. Stretch yourself into the corridors of that circumstance, into the back alleys of that situation, into areas where there hasn't been the light of God's goodness. It's your responsibility to stretch. Loving is stretching. Stretch. Stretch. Turn to your neighbor and say, stretch. In fact, why don't you all just stand up right now? We're going to stretch. Some of you getting sleepy dopey there. Guess what? That'll quicken you right now. Reach really high. Go, Now reach over to your neighbor and give a little squeeze on the neck. Turn to your other neighbor. A little squeeze on the neck. All right. Now you can be seated. That's as close as we'll get to an intermission. All right. So what do you do, though, when you stretch? I mean, because we stretched into the situation, and I mean, the first stretch, I mean, not much happened. I mean, what do you do when you stretch into a situation and you don't see anything go on? I mean, what do you do when there's no life? What really happened here? Did something happen? I mean, there's no manifestation here at all. What am I going to do? I mean, Naaman had to dip 7 times. If he dipped only 6 times, he wouldn't have had that resurrection. He wouldn't have had his flesh totally restored. What happened? I mean, Peter, he's out there preaching. We see thousands getting saved, and all of a sudden he's getting whipped and James is getting beheaded. I stretched into a situation and we got some hellish opposition. I mean, stretching is difficult. We stretched and man, stuff is going on. I mean, Paul gets beaten. Paul gets stoned. Paul gets shipwrecked. Paul is stretching into situations and he runs into some hardship. Have you ever stretched into some situations and you're not seeing the change you'd hoped for? You stretch into a situation, you go and you meet death head on and you hear the Lord. You stretch yourself covering completely that situation. You get as engaged as you can and you don't see any results. I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you do when that happens? I mean, what about William Wilberforce? What if when he stretched, when he started? I mean, it took 25 to 35 years just to try to change the mindset of the people he was dealing with. Who was William Wilberforce? He was a frail politician in Britain who got engaged by a group of people who said, the call of God's on your life to abolish slavery. And here's a guy who began a 35-year journey. It took everything out of him. He almost died. He stretched himself over that wicked situation. And he said, this should not be. And he made it a personal life goal that this in my lifetime is going to change. And when he had opposition, when he felt like physically he was going to die and he couldn't go on. You know what? When you're not getting results and it just got warm, stretch some more. I mean, what about Martin Luther? I mean, Martin Luther, he puts the 95 thesis on the door. He says there's something wrong with the church today. He goes and he confronts it. He says, I want to deal with this from the inside. I'm gonna say, we need reform. And then as soon as he puts it on the door, the Pope wants him killed. I mean, he gets contracts out in his life from many of the rulers of many kingdoms. He has to run for his life. But for years and for years and for years, Martin Luther, he contended for one truth, the just shall live by faith. And you're here today and you're born again today by that simple act of faith because one man named Martin Luther stretched himself over the death of religion and he said, this is not going to happen anymore in my lifetime. I want to see religion broken off the backs of people. I want to see the people of God set free, and he contended for it with his whole life. It is awesome. Just for my wife, what about Susan B. Anthony? What about those suffragettes who got sick and tired of women being treated as second-rate citizens? I mean, we can't even vote. I mean, we get no respect whatsoever. And these suffragettes, they contended with their whole lives. They fought for the rights of women to be restored and brought into a place where, sadly, the church today won't even recognize that God said there's neither male nor female. And people still have to contend for that. There's churches today that are still stuck in false doctrines and won't let women take a rightful place in the body of Christ. I mean, what is wrong with people? And really, it is simple biblical literacy. You have to go at it with an intent in your heart to restrict women to come to that conclusion. Because it is not at all biblical. And yet these people in society have had to contend for truth to be restored. What about Martin Luther King and what he went through and the years of struggle? I mean, slavery had ended, but still the racism. I mean, you can end something, but it's still in the heart of a nation. And you got to go and you got to confront that. And he even gave his own life, finally shed his own blood for the realization of freedom. Hey! What about Nelson Mandela and everything he went through and apartheid and that whole separate thing? But there's somebody who got thrown in jail and still from jail was a voice and spoke out. And even from a place of being in prison would renounce his convictions, and he wanted to see society change. There's death creeping in all around you. You just got to open your eyes. And the problem is the church is so dopey sleepy today that they are so self-absorbed. They're so into their own little bless me stuff, but they don't realize that God has invested power and majesty. He has fully invested and crowned you with all glory and all honor. He has given you authority to have dominion over all things. Man. Thank you. There's two people that should stay. I'm just about to send the rest of the dopey sleepy people home. I tell you, all of these people were just men and women. They were just people. You know, they had a guy who went, when he was in Europe, and he's there touring around Europe, and he got out in this little small town, and he went to the tour guide. He said, were any really important people ever born here? I mean, any places we could see some important people born? And the tour guide turned around. He said, sorry, but in this town, only babies were born. All of you know what? Babies were born. On that note, I went yesterday to the hospital, and Nicole gave birth to a lovely little baby named Chloe, and Ryan is happy, and they got a beautiful little baby. But I went through the halls, and I said, has anybody important been born today? They said, no, just babies. Are you important? No, when you think about what the Word says about you, and you think about how much power and authority has been invested in you, you better look in the mirror and say, wow. You better look in the mirror and say, whoa. But you better look in the mirror and say, to whom much is given, much is required. And you've been really, really, really blessed. And too often we're just floating through life. And we can barely be faithful to something at church. We can barely plug in to what the church is doing, let alone stretch ourselves into dead, creeping entropy in society. Oh, Pastor, that's not nice. No, I don't want to stand here and say, look, a lot of them people I gave you had incredible ability, incredible talent, but you let them get dopey and sleepy. I can say, remember today when I said, hey, what's the problem? I did do this sermon. Remember? See, Paul said, I've taught you everything, so if you screw up, it ain't my fault. He did. That's my paraphrase. Verse 34, the flesh is warm. The child became warm. You might sit there and say nothing going on, but something's happening. You might, opposition might even grow. But you know what? God is at work for good. So you can say nothing's going on, but I'll tell you, something shifted. The child became warm. And I'm hearing lots of testimonies these days. We had Alana was at our home on Friday night telling us about, you know, girls that she brought to our ladies' event last time. And, you know, some of the girls that she brought from the time before, they called on their own to get tickets and were bringing friends. I mean, these are people who don't even go to this church want to plug into the events going on in this church. My goodness. And then she said, I got this other gal who was a Muslim gal who said, I don't know what's going on, but those people were sharing. He says, your pastor was saying some things. And he says, I'd really pretty much given up on God. But going to that stirred something up about desiring to know God in my heart that was dead. That spread life into a place that had gone dead. That spread life into a place where it was death. And Alana said, it's funny. Now all around me, I'm seeing people are really interested in the God stuff. Did you know that all around you, people are interested? Did you know that all around you, there's people who need to be set free from death? Did you know that all around you, every person you see was already created with a desire to know him? Eternity was placed in the heart of every man. It's just time for us to wake up and quit running away from difficult situations and run into that situation, shut the door, and I'm going to stretch myself into this situation until it's all covered with the love of God. Hello, Pastor. If it's any good, say, woohoo! Thank you. It helps me move forward. Otherwise, I strain a little longer on a point, and then you miss lunch. So if you want it to move along quicker, say, I get it. You know how you say, I get it? You say, amen. Yeah, I got it. Woo, I got that. Come on. Hallelujah. Awesome. All right. So they didn't quit. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. They saw. They believed they're going to see resurrection. Look at verse 34. And then he went up, and he stretched himself out again. And then he went up and he stretched himself out again. Well, I've stretched before. I stretched a few times. I stretched and we experienced warmth. Hallelujah. You know, we need resurrection power. We need supernatural signs of God's life and presence. So if you've stretched and you've had warmth, yippee. And that's good. And celebrate that because something is going on. And you know something? There's a couple of months ago, Cheryl and I, we had a community meal. It wasn't terribly well attended by the community and stuff like that. And I'm looking at the budget and saying, you know, we're spending $700 to $900 on that meal. And we're feeding a few people. And we get the odd thank you. But I don't know. Maybe there's something we could better do with that money. I don't know. But then the next two community meals were really good. And people showed incredible gratitude. And people were being ministered to and touched. And I'm going, you know what? I'm going to stretch some more. I'm going to stretch again. You know, we ran into the principal of the school over here while we were getting groceries. And, you know, we have a relationship with her, and she's talking, and she's sharing the pains and things she's going through and sharing with us like we're partnering in a community, sharing how she didn't want to go on anymore, how tough it is down here. But, you know, I feel like we're stretching even over that. We're helping there. We're helping her. We're blessing the public school, for goodness sake. We're helping people do what they need to do. They're getting support from us. We're stretching. Folks, it's getting warm. It's getting warm. Something is starting to shift. I feel like God is at work behind the scenes. There is something going on. And if we would just stretch, I'm asking you, please, if we would just stretch a little more, if we would look everywhere where there's death and we would stretch in every crevice of where there's death in every place in your life, where you work, where you go to school, people you're in touch with in your neighborhood, if we would stretch just a little more right now, I believe we're going to see the desire of our heart. We're going to see resurrection life. We're going to see not us just making something warm. We're going to see God himself come powerfully in supernatural resurrection. Yeah, I had in my notes, they're all standing, screaming. Just let me scratch that out for a second. All right. Okay. So we're coming to a rapid conclusion. Are you ready? Here it is. Sneeze. Not trying to figure this one out. Sneeze. What's that? I saw in some ancient rabbinical texts and things that they thought when the breath of life was breathed into Adam that he sneezed, and that was a sign of life. And so this one sneezed 7 times. So I looked up sneeze, and sneeze is an explosive, spasmodic, involuntary expulsion of air from the lungs through the nose and the mouth. It's about 150 miles an hour. Whoosh. Boom. Usually some causing foreign particles that are irritating the nasal mucosa. And a sneeze gets rid of stuff. And 7 times, fully, completely, there was a sneeze where death was fully, completely broken off the back of that child. And the promise of God came forth and was fully, completely, and totally realized. Hallelujah. Got one brother really excited over here. I'm putting him in the front row next week because, man, he's just fun to preach to right there. Yeah! Are you feeling me? I'm telling you, it's time. It's time. Now, this was interesting. When I looked up sneezing, I also saw this. The longest sneezing fit the world has ever seen. The longest sneezing fit ever achieved was by Donna Griffiths of the UK, who at the age of 12 began to sneeze. And she sneezed from January 13th, 1981 to September 16th, 1983. A total of 978 days. It is estimated that she sneezed more than 1 million times in the first year. Her sneezes came at 1-minute intervals in the beginning and then slowed down to 5-minute intervals near the end. It was the longest sneezing fit on record. What is the point of that? Nothing whatsoever. I just thought it was good information. It's just, sneeze, completely sneeze, let go, release, broken off of that young life was an attack to cause death to come to a purpose of God. And there is a purpose in your life, and nothing personal, but the enemy sometimes won't come with big frontal attacks. He'll just try to put you to sleep. He'll just try to make you dopey sleepy. He'll just try to make you not care. He'll just try to make you think, well, you know, church 2 or 3 times a month, good enough. And you know, do my little God bill stuff and take care of that little issue in my life. But then the rest of the time, I just pretty much celebrate me. Woo! It's time to stretch. It's time to do what God's called you to do. It's time to shake off and sneeze off. That death is trying to get on you. Get rid of that stuff because God's got something powerful for every one of you to do. And I want to see it realized, and I want to see it stretched. So the purpose of God was rather resurrected. Death had tried to destroy it, but Elijah stretched into the situation. Now, one more verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. Philippians chapter 2, verse 30, it says, but he, Epaphroditus, risked his life for the work of Christ. He was to the point of death while doing for me what he couldn't do, what you couldn't do from far away. The word that is used there for risk his life is the word parabella. The word parabella means with no regard, to risk it all, to be careless, or it can mean to roll the dice. Or it could mean in our poker vernacular, pushed all in. All in. I'm the only one who knows that. I guess I'm the only one who plays poker online. But I don't play poker. I'm just kidding. But I mean, all in is where you take everything. You push all your chips in the middle of the table. You say, I am in. You know something? There's only one way to serve God. All in. You know, when you got set free and you got this great revelation of God's grace and how much he loves you, no, you didn't get that so you could sit on your behind. You got that so now you had the power and the revelation to obey him. That's right, got a straight up. I got a nod from Kathleen. It was pretty convicting nod, though. It was pretty heavy. It was like, yes, sir, Bob. When we're talking, Paul's saying, this guy, Epaphroditus, he was all in. You know, there's a group of people called back in the day in Alexandria, and there was a group of monks, there was a group of believers. They were male and female, but they were called the Parabellani, and they named themselves after this passage. And what they were was people who, they visited prisoners, they took care of the sick, even those with contagious diseases. They buried victims of the plague. They unflinchingly and boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ in every place, laying it all on the line, even risking their own lives. And these were incredible people. And you know, it's believed that this group started when the plague hit. When the plague hit, people wouldn't even bury their own dead. People would just run from it. They were so terrified and so fearful. But when death came in, they met it face on. When death came in, they went into places where there's death. They helped people, and then they took out the bodies. They buried the bodies, but then they prayed for the sick. They ministered to people, and they didn't run from the plague. They ran face on and said, I'm going to take responsibility, not on my watch. This is not happening while I'm on the earth. Finishing with one more story, one of my favorite John G. Lake stories. John G. Lake, when he was in South Africa and the bubonic plague was running all through South Africa, John G. Lake would walk into they'd have tents where people were frothing at the mouth and they were dying and the disease was rampant. He would just walk into a tent and just run through the tent and go bam, 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 and it would heal every person in the tent. Then he'd jump in the car. He wouldn't even stop to talk to the people. He would just go. He was just trekking from place to place. He took personally that I am going to remove this plague from South Africa. He ran at it. You read about it. He did it. You know, he got to one place and the doctor said, look, put these glasses on, put this mask on, cover yourself with this gown. What you are doing is so important. We don't want to see you infected. What you are doing is so important. So please, we must protect you from this plague. So he said, oh, stop it. And he went over to somebody frothing at the mouth. He said, take that disease off their lips. They took it off their lips and he said, put it on the microscope. And they put it on the microscope and he said, do you see it's alive? And they said, oh, we can see the virus. We can see it's alive. And he said, now put it on my hand. And they went, on your hand? He said, put it on my hand. Just like that too. Put it on my hand. Put it on his hand. He said, now scoop it off my hand. Put it under the microscope. They took it, put it under the microscope. And it says every single particle of the disease was dead. And he said, what I have in me is the resurrection power of Christ. The same spirit that raised him from the dead is quickening my mortal body, and I radiate the very health of God. He said, that infection cannot touch me. I carry the life of God. And he went throughout South Africa, and he touched so many lives and relieved people and took that plague and that scourge off of that nation. Where's the John G. Lakes today? Where was he born? Any important? He was born in Canada, actually, near here. Just up here in St. Mary's, wasn't it? Any important people around here? But you know what? It was just a baby. He was born a baby. In fact, he was born in a family with incredible infirmity. He was born in a family where his family members were all dying. And he finally said, I'm not taking this anymore. And he rose up and he dealt with the sickness in his own life. He dealt with the sickness in his own family. And then he said, now I'm going to take on the sickness in the earth. What about you? Where are you stretching right now? I'm actually stretching because I want to go have lunch, Pastor. I mean, my goodness. I'm really saying, folks, I believe there's such an amazing window of opportunity for Impact Church right now. And if we would, I'm going to stretch whether you want to or not. God bless you. But I want to encourage you, come on. If we would stretch together, if we would begin to really engage where we are, where God has planted us, if we would really on purpose confront where darkness and entropy is trying to creep in, if we would engage together and stretch, we're going to see supernatural, miraculous life. Not a little bit, but I tell you something, it'll be so huge and so big. I mean, when Sean Bowles was here last time, I trust the prophets, but sometimes I'm like, my God, you know, there they said it again. You know, God's going to do something so significant here that the nations are going to come to this city. And I'm like, I said it again. I've heard people say that before. Ah, don't get that hope up in me again. But you know what? It's time to say yes. It's time to stretch. They trusted the prophets and they were successful. I'm asking you, come on. I'm going to preach some really irritating sermons in the new year. I'll tell you, your pastor's going to have a knife. Oh, I don't like knife sermons. We're under grace. Thank God you're under grace. You'll be able to handle the knife now because you're a mature believer and you want to obey God and you're tired of being a mamby-pamby. You understand that grace empowers you to say yes to God and do something wonderful with your life. So let all the grace people wake up. It's time to obey God and do something about what's going on in the world today. Pastor's going to carry a knife? I've had a knife for a long time. It's just sometimes you kind of put it away for a while and you go, I'm going to let the people be dopey sleepy for a while. People are busy. I mean, my goodness, who wants to serve God when you got so much going on these days? Hey, I mean, how many people got stuff going on? Hey, I got stuff. You got stuff. Stuff's going on. I mean, Pastor, I mean, my goodness, I got to work 8-10 hours a day and I got to sleep for 14. I mean, man. Yes, I'm meddling. I am. because I just believe these are times where there's so many people that need us to step up. Because I really felt when I read that passage and they said, you know, the body became warm. I really feel like it's warm out there. You know, you might be hearing stuff in the news and think, I ain't warm, Pastor. What are you looking at? I'm telling you, in my spirit, it's warm. In my spirit, I'm hearing that there's a cry coming. And they don't want dead old tripe religion. They want a supernatural God. They won't want some philosophy just to cope with their meaningless life. They want power from on high to energize their lives. I'm not talking about little dopey Bible studies and just hanging out and whoopee-doo and hope Jesus gets us out of this mess. I mean running into death, shutting the door until it is dealt with. Okay. On that note, let's all stand. Did I spray there? Oh, I sprayed again. That was good. Praise the Lord. I'll turn to your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and stretch. I just want you really to stretch. Just stretch. Just push your hand as far as you can. Push it out. Father, I want to stretch where there's death. There's people out there, every one of them born with you in mind. Actually, they were born, they were in your mind. They were in your heart before they came to be. Father, every single one of them. And every single one of them, Lord, you desire. It says that you love them with a jealous love. Every single one. You said that it is not your will that any should perish. Not any. Your will is that none should perish, but all come to everlasting life. Father, we're going to stretch. I'm going to stretch. I'm stretching. And in stretching, I want to shake off the sleep. I want to shake off the entropy. I want the blood and the oxygen. I want the life of God to run freely through my body. And I want to shake off anywhere where death has tried to hinder me or keep me down. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray you give me salve for my eyes to see in front of me where you want me to engage death head on. You want me to go carelessly even and risk it all, knowing that, Lord, you will never fail. I thank you that the one is in me is greater than he that's in the world. And I am set up, I am more than a conqueror. Father, I just pray that you would cause us to have our eyes open to see that we can engage situations around us and cause the goodness and the grace of God to come into manifestation. So just stretch one more time. I mean, really push. Push your arms, your joints, just push. Now I pray, God, give them a vision right now of where they can stretch. Give them a vision of where they can fully, completely cover a situation. The goodness and the grace of God. So, Father, we stretch into that right now. Visions right now. Divine appointments right now. Just places where, God, you want to use us to do great things. Cause that to be manifested, Jesus.